Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's a sexy thing. Sexy thing. It's a sexy thing.
My friend and producer Dave Josephson just said, good luck, Paul. Good luck with this. Oh. Well, I mean,
hi, Paul.
This is a sensitive subject, I realize, but Lori Watson, you are amazing. Lori is a certified sex therapist and host of a very popular podcast on love and sex called Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. Thank you, Lori, for joining us and going where no man or woman has gone before.
That's right. We're going to talk about a really dicey, embarrassing subject today.
Well, he didn't want me to say premature ejaculation on the air, and I figure it's a medical condition, right?
That's
we can use the euphemisms quick on the trigger.
Right, but we're really going to talk about it, and I think you're right to use the accurate words. And I would just like to give a quick description of what that means. It really means when it takes a man maybe before or within 1 minute of penetration before he reaches climax.
Right.
And so this happens, Paul. This is the most common sexual dysfunction that men have. I mean, it happens really, the new research shows 25% to 40% of men struggle with this.
Whoa. Is it at all age groups, or are young people more vulnerable, or how does that work?
So it is across the ages, across the age groups. I would say that most men with their first experience do experience this. So it's like a very, very, very high percentage on first sexual experience, like upwards of 70%. And one of the things that contributes to premature ejaculation is an early experience with it. So these men who are, of course, naturally anxious, right? Young men would be anxious on their first encounter and put a lot of pressure on themselves and say, oh, I really got to perform. And all of that anxiety actually contributes to making them climax more easily. And then they tell themselves, I failed, this is too, you know, I'm not very good at this. And that increases anxiety, and it becomes sort of this self-referral, this cycle that anxiety keeps happening, and that's one of the main causes for it, is anxiety.
A feedback loop. So, but you mentioned that this is one of the more treatable things, right? There are things you can do. You don't just have to live with this, right?
No, absolutely. It is so treatable, and people need to know this. And I'm glad you said that, because the big thing about PE is the sense that men feel shame over it, and that exacerbates them getting help. They don't talk about it with their partners. They don't know what to do to get better. But I think the first thing that they really need to remember is that oftentimes their partner is not as disappointed as they think their partner is. So remember, again, we've talked about this. We're going to talk about all kinds of things today.
First of all, I
got to say all the words.
If your spouse is checking her watch, that's probably not a good sign, right?
That's right. And most men, really, the average time for men to last is about 8 minutes. And I think that men think they should last 20 minutes.
Is that metric, or is that? Okay, I'm just checking. Okay, 8 minutes. All right, I'm writing this down.
8 minutes. So, right, most women do not climax through vaginal penetration. So for some of them, they don't care at all. What they care about is the sense that the man feels humiliated, and he withdraws from the experience in this anger at himself and disgust with himself and this sense of shame. And he moves away from the sexual moment. He moves away from his partner. And that's what really bothers her. You know, the moment is over for the two of them. And instead of maybe saying to her, you know what, you're so sexy, I just couldn't help myself. You know, he instead says, I'm a failure. He pulls away, and that's what makes their partners angry. It's not the actual problem, usually most of the time, because most women don't climax that way. It's his shame and pull away. So that's the first thing to remember. It's not just about you. There's two of you making love, and you can be a successful lover even if you have premature ejaculation.
So
very successful.
No, I understand that, and the shame, and it becomes a self-perpetuating, it becomes that sort of a vicious cycle, as you referenced.
Yes.
And, you know, I hope that the answer isn't just more pills, more medication, more pharmaceuticals, other than picturing your grandma's face. I mean, what else can guys do?
Okay, well, you know, what you said is really something that is typical. Some men try to picture something awful in their mind, their grandmother's face.
Well, my grandma's face was not awful, but it would distract me. You know?
It would distract, you know, anybody, right, to think of their grandmother while they're having sex. And so men try to turn the brakes on. They put the brakes on by thinking of something that is not sexual. But actually, this doesn't work.
Hmm.
So what they need to learn to do is have very erotic thoughts and be able to stand erotic stimulation and then learn control. And it's easy peasy, really easy peasy. If you have a willing partner, you kind of do this progressively. So you start with something that is not quite as stimulating, learn to wait to climax, and then progress to the point where you are having vaginal penetration and then just kind of staying still and not climaxing. And that progression, it usually takes men only about 6 months to solve this completely.
Do most people need actual therapy? I mean, what would you recommend for somebody listening right now? And I understand it's a tough thing to talk about, but
yeah.
What would you recommend as a logical next step?
Okay. So you know what, there's a great book. It's by Michael Castleman. I have not written this book, but it's a tiny, short book, and he kind of walks you all the way through it. He's a buddy of mine. He's a great journalist. He really writes very clearly. It's really smart, so I would check out that book first. I mean, this is something that two people can solve together. The problem is by the time they get to me, things have gone wrong between the two of them. Usually she's angry. He thinks she's angry because he climaxes too fast. But she's usually angry because it took him so long to reach out for help.
Interesting. And dumb question here, potentially dumb question. This is not going to be fixed by a little blue pill.
No. So Viagra works on functioning and the Viagra lookalikes. And most men with premature ejaculation actually function just fine. They have erections. So that's not their issue, and it doesn't make them last longer. Viagra does not work that way. It just simply works on the veins, basically, vasodilation. So this is not the problem. This is an internal issue with control. And this is something that many men learn just kind of on their own. It's easy. They don't even have this problem, or they have it in the beginning, and then they learn how to control it. But again, it's something that is kind of instinctual for them. And if you have to learn it, the good news is it's also very easily learned with a little bit of consciousness. So men kind of think about, you know, once they get this anxiety cycle going in their heads, they're so worried about climaxing that, again, it adds to it. And so what I suggest to them is just go ahead. Just take the brakes off. Go for broke. And then make love a second time, you know, and that really helps them learn sort of control just in the moment. That's an easy trick.
Hmm.
Go for broke. Just let it happen. And some of it is they have to get their partner's agreement. They have to let their partner know, I'm working on it, and this is what I'm going to do. This is what's been recommended.
Okay. Well, this is very helpful information, and I know you have an amazing library of podcasts, and I would...
Yes, and we definitely have a podcast on Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy,
right,
all about premature ejaculation, so they can definitely listen to it there. And I just want to say, I have a new podcast host. His name is George Fowler, and he is the bomb. He is He's a couples therapist guru, and I'm so excited about the work that we're doing together. So please listen to one of our new episodes, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no. he was a firefighter at 9/11, and he, you know, overcame that and then eventually became a couples therapist to help the firefighters, the surviving couples, treating them because he knew what they had gone through.
The PTSD, and yeah, that obviously PTSD has to impact every facet of your life.
He does. He's a real specialist with escalated couples, and we're putting our minds together between what he knows about couples and what I know about couples and sex to really see if we can make an impact. So I'm very excited about it.
Well, you're already making an impact, and Lori, thank you for speaking truth to power and helping us all with a subject that is a little touchy at times,
okay,
right?
Just remember, premature ejaculation, most common sexual dysfunction, and the easiest one to resolve.
3 out of 10 men. Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. Check it out wherever you get your podcasts. And Lori, we'll catch you next week. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You bet. Bye-bye. All right, Dave, we got through that. Are you okay? I didn't know. Boy, you turned like beet red.
We got no calls. I didn't have to dump anything. I think we're good to go.
Did this hit close to home at all? I mean, is this a sore subject?
You know, in all seriousness, I am glad that we do this segment every week and then we offer like real practical advice to people. And I get calls every once in a while of people that don't like some of the language we use in this segment, which is fine. If you don't want that in your home or in your car, that's fine. But the reality is that Lori comes on every week and gives real researched answers to problems that people are actually having. And that's why we do this every week.
And to err is human, right? And and sex is part of relationships.
It certainly is, and we should not ignore it.
We all want to get better at it and please our partners, so that's why we're doing it. When we come back, air pollution that is so bad, schools are canceled, flights are canceled, people are being warned to stay indoors, kind of puts our Alberta Clipper into perspective. That's coming up next.
Paul and Jordana.
Hey, nice music selection. Thank you, DJ. I need some Stones right about now. Oh, my. So, a couple of things here caught my eye. This Alberta Clipper coming in tomorrow night. And again, the pattern, if it's any consolation, yeah, it's going to be colder than average looking out the next 2 weeks. Next week would feel right at home in late December. I mean, a couple of days maybe in the teens, a couple of days in the 20s. But all that Canadian air is going to prevent southern moisture, moisture from the Gulf, from reaching Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin. So we don't have the ingredients for an epic snowstorm. Certainly no blizzards, no significant drama looking out the next 2 weeks. After that, the crystal ball gets murky. We get these big storms and blizzards when the jet stream buckles, and especially when it buckles overhead or just to the west. And that allows that delicate dance between cold air to the north and moisture coming up from the south. Too much of either ruins the recipe. But you need just the right amount of cold air and just the right amount of moisture to brew up a big storm. These clippers tend to be piddly. They are frustratingly fickle. Every clipper is a little bit different. But the one that's coming through tomorrow night, I think the best chance is going to come for some snow south of the metro. And these stripes of snow, you know, can be 75 miles wide, maybe 100 miles wide. And we look at all the models and we look at the trends and do the models agree. Right now, the European model is printing out a coating of snow here in the metro, maybe an inch southern suburbs, 4 inches closer to Albert Lea and Rochester and maybe Mankato. So it looks like the heaviest stuff may stay south. By the way, these clippers, named after the clipper ships of the 1800s, they were the fastest vessels on the seas at the time. With a strong wind, they could get up 30, 40 knots. And these clippers, these Alberta clippers, which dive bomb out of Canada, from Alberta, thus the name, they can move at 20, 30, 40 miles an hour, and they often whip up strong winds. So usually not a lot of snow, but they can produce a lot of wind and whip up the inch or two of snow that they drop. According to Mark Seely, last month, October, 3 to 5 degrees colder than average, the 21st coolest October in state history going back to 1895. It was also the sixth wettest in state history. Statewide average precip, just under 4.5 inches. And the last story that caught my eye here for weather therapy, dozens of flights to Delhi, India have been rerouted because of low visibility due to air pollution. Looks like fog, but in this case, it's a deadly fog. Air pollution levels 30 times higher than what is considered safe. And the Indian government has declared a public health emergency. Combination of things, there's normally a lot of pollution from industry, but fireworks, the Hindu festival Diwali, and farmers have been lighting fires to clear the stubble off their land. It's not just affecting flights, it's affecting schools. Schools are shut down, traffic restrictions, people instructed to stay indoors. By the way, 7 of the 10 most polluted cities in the world are located in India. When we come back, a plane that's so smart it lands itself, a small private jet that can land itself if you just happen to be having a heart attack. That's coming up in Beyond the Headlines next.
Paul and Jordana, Beyond the Headlines.
Just a reminder, gentle reminder, when you hear the dulcet tones of Steve Perry from Journey, when you hear the actual tune, the tunage, here on CCO Radio, call in. Caller number 3 will win a couple of tickets to the Big Journey Pretenders concert, June 7th of 2020. One more reason to keep going. Beyond the Headlines, a couple of things caught my eye. Never did get a pilot's license. I think I have 8 hours in the air, and then I landed, Dave, in a strong crosswind.
Oof.
And had to crab in. And I remember I got out and I kissed the tarmac. I kissed the pavement. And I said, you know,
that was it?
Maybe this isn't for me. Wow. I'm not sure I can do this.
No, wait, is this recently or is
No, this was back. This was my first job in TV. I was like 22.
Yeah.
And in my off hours, I was taking flying lessons. And it's one of those things I know I'd love being up there in the weather.
Sure.
But I think your brain has to be wired. You have to be responsible. I would argue almost like an engineering mindset. Mm-hmm. Attention to detail.
Yeah.
You have to be meticulous to stay alive, to fly safe. Anyway, Cirrus has a private jet. It's only $2 million and change. And now, thanks to Garmin and some others, they have a new capability where the jet will land itself. It's called Safe Return Emergency Auto Land System. There's a big red button.
Wow.
That anybody, imagine the pilot is having a stroke, having
sure.
a heart attack, whatever. You're sitting in the back or you're sitting in the passenger seat mm-hmm. and you go, oh my God, we're dead. No.
Push the button. Wow.
And it automatically uses autopilot functionality to land. And here's the deal. The software selects the airport that has the best combination of runway length and a clear approach relative to weather conditions.
Sure.
And it then steers the airplane on a descent. It automatically alerts local traffic and air traffic control with pre-programmed text and spoken word messages. It can voice automatically, so you don't have to do a thing.
Now, I wonder if what will come next is the elimination of a co-pilot, because I know on I think most or maybe all private jets, you still have to have two people flying the plane. I think it's for emergencies.
Well, I think
if one person becomes incapacitated, then this would be a way to possibly get around that. If you say, Paul's flying the plane, and if there's an emergency, you just press the button.
I think for commercial jets, for commercial aviation, yes, mm-hmm. and possibly for some corporate, you need a pilot and a co-pilot.
Sure.
But otherwise, if you just own a plane,
yeah.
I don't think you need to have a co-pilot.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's true, I believe, yeah.
But you're right. I mean, is this going to be an excuse to do away with a co-pilot and
yeah.
airlines save money? But I found it was, I find this fascinating.
Yeah.
So anyway,
what you got? Well, a vessel that could have used maybe some increased technology is a ship that was wrecked when it came loose from its tow in New York and has been famously shipwrecked just upstream from Niagara Falls. This happened back in 1918, and this ship has been part of kind of the folklore of Niagara Falls for over a decade now.
But it didn't go over the falls.
No, it didn't go over the falls. It came loose from a tugboat, went towards the falls. There was a dramatic rescue effort. There was two men on board that were rescued. But then this ship has been stuck just on top of the falls for, like I said, over 100 years. And
wow,
a couple of nights ago, in the dead of night, when a storm came in and dumped a bunch of water in that area, a bunch of rain in that area, the ship became dislodged and went about 150 feet downstream. Now, nobody saw this. It happened at night, and they got up the next morning, and the ship had moved 150 feet. Now, what night do you think this was?
Halloween.
It was Halloween.
Halloween.
It was last Thursday night.
It was a flood.
So who knows if
flood dislodged this thing.
Yeah, maybe a ghost came and moved it. But no, a flood dislodged it and moved it. And now officials say they don't know. It could move again in a day, in a month. Or it could be another 100 years before the ship moves. And when it does move again, it's likely that it will go over the falls this time, or at least part of it will go over the falls. So they have plans that if it looks like it's going to move, they'll warn officials and get tourists out of the way and stuff like that. But pretty spooky that that happens on Halloween.
On Halloween.
And what if it would have just plunged over the edge?
Man, again, not my top 10 ways to go. Thank you. Do you know Tiffany Haddish?
No. Should I?
I guess she's a big deal.
Okay.
Yeah. She's an actress, an influencer.
Sure.
And anyway, she apparently took no crap from a boyfriend who was unfaithful to her. So she actually defecated in his sneakers.
Okay. Classy.
I think it's creative. This was a Bleacher Report interview. Apparently, she was looking for a creative way to get back to her philandering ex. She tricked him into putting on his prized sneakers before he realized what he had stepped into. He cheated on me on videotape on my birthday, she said. I felt like he had pooed on my soul, so then I decided to poop in the sole of his shoes. She's 39 now. She did this, I guess, when she was 21. She ate a distinctive food because she thought it would ensure her boyfriend would know that it was human, and explained how she soiled the new Jordans and put them back in the box as if nothing had happened. Then invited him to play basketball, to play hoops out in the backyard. Once he placed his foot into the sneakers, Haddish said she hot-footed it out of the house, figuring he wouldn't give chase.
You better watch out, Paul. I know you've been working on your shoe game. You've got those Doppler sneakers and some nice new suede shoes. Someone's gonna copycat.
Look, she didn't hit him. There was no violence. She crapped in his Air Jordans. Awful. I find that creative. I gave her 10 points for style points.
Gee,
sorry about that.
Well, there's a city in Japan. It's the city of Kamakura, which has a strange new law. Now, this is a city with gorgeous beaches. It's one of the top tourist areas, partially because of the street food it has. It has food tours and street food tours. And I guess they say over 50,000 tourists come to this city of Kamakura every day. And the city says there's a problem with, guess what? Eating and walking. They want people to stop eating while they're walking. So there's signs up in the city. They're not fining people. They're not putting people in jail, but they're putting up signs around the city asking tourists to stop eating while
They're a hazard to motorists or themselves, or they're walking into stuff?
No, that's what I thought right away, too. But the actual reason is because they're having a problem with trash that's being left around.
Okay.
Some of the food scraps are attracting animals, and it's just creating a mess in this city because there's such a high volume of people, and they're all out getting street food. But that would be a bummer if I went there. Well, I mean, my favorite thing to do when I travel is to eat, and what's better than getting some street food?
You stroll and eat at the fair.
Yes, absolutely. And you see the sights, like the Japan's largest Buddha is in this city. Hmm. Like I said, beaches and temples and all sorts of other attractions. And I would love to get some local fare and then walk around, but apparently they're asking people not to do that in this city. Wow. In Japan.
Wow, well, scratch that off my list.
Yeah, really.
Squeeze this in. A French startup is launching wine into orbit. Yeah. A French entrepreneur started a company, Space Cargo Unlimited, which is doing research on microgravity in Earth's orbit. They're going to be launching rockets, Blue Origin and SpaceX, as soon as next year. And they're launching a dozen bottles of the finest wine they can find to the International Space Station. They are believed to be the first glass bottles flown into this orbiting lab. Here's what the bottom line. Why on earth would you do this? Space Cargo Unlimited hopes to see if the aging process is different in space compared to the same vintage left on the ground. So that being in orbit, is that going to affect, amplify the flavor of these wines? Again, I don't know. Really? I mean, for people with more money than sense, I guess. Or just to be able to brag that
hey, this bottle was in space.
Does it taste any different? So how do you know that technology that you use every day hasn't been hacked? You know, as more of these stories come out, it has made me do a double take and a triple take. Here, let me back up. Drones have been grounded by the Department of the Interior, most of its fleet of drones, reacting to fears that the drones with parts made in China may pose a threat to national security here in the USA. Interior Secretary Dave Bernhardt said drones not currently being used for emergency measures such as combating wildfires would be grounded pending further review. And again, some of the concerns were, could these drones be taking video, especially in hot, sensitive areas, and sending this video back to servers in China, where they could be used by the military, by who knows what. The other is TikTok, which I know is a very popular app. A lot of younger people, that is their go-to app for sharing videos. Apparently, TikTok will not testify at a congressional hearing tomorrow about its risks to American consumers. The Chinese short video app owned by ByteDance, a Chinese company, is a global hit, but it has raised lawmakers' suspicions over its privacy and censorship policies and also its potential effect on U.S. national security. ByteDance, again, the company that owns TikTok, the app, said, "Unfortunately, on short notice, we were unable to provide a witness who would be able to contribute to a substantive discussion." So you don't want to be so paranoid that you become paralyzed, but if you're not just a little bit paranoid, it could mean that you're not paying attention. You don't have TikTok, do you, Dave?
I do not have TikTok. I did. I saw my wife using a new social media platform this morning or maybe last night. Marco Polo. Have you heard of that one?
I have not.
Apparently, she described it, and I should look into this because apparently it's growing in popularity, but she described it as Snapchat for adults that don't want to do the weird stuff that's on Snapchat.
Okay.
But you can send videos back and forth, and they're just, you know, short little videos that you view one time. I guess is kind of the deal, but it's amazing how there is always new social media platforms. And if you're a young person, you know, your mom and your grandma's on Facebook, you're not using that.
You're trying to stay ahead of the curve, right? Parents show up on the app, time to leave the app, time to leave Facebook, whatever. And I know Instagram is wildly popular, and I do like Instagram. And I find too that the advertisements, the ads that come up in my Instagram feed, it's actually stuff I'm interested in.
Well, and that's why it's successful.
I don't know. They've found the magic secret sauce. When we come back, the top stories that are trending, we're giving away Journey tickets. Listen carefully. It's coming up next.
Paul and Jordana.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.